And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern, staring at Bridgestone Arena, because tonight the Predators will host the Ottawa Senators, or a team that is named the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
I don't know actually who their players are, but a team called the Ottawa Senators will be here tonight because they traded away. The reason I'm saying this is they traded away their team.
Yeah,
yesterday.
They're playing
kind of like the Ducks. Who exactly are the Ducks suiting up these days?
Matt Irwin.
Matt Irwin's one of those guys. That is a good point. But actually, we're going to give away tickets to that game. If you pop in here, Pete and Terry's Tavern. When are we going to draw, Chase?
We're going to do that probably around 1:45
towards the end of the show.
Yeah, so you can come in and see us. You don't have to be present to win, but you do have to physically walk in here and register to win. So you don't have to stick around necessarily, but you do have to come and put your name in the hat, and they'll open up around 11. So you can do that as you go on your lunch break. Come by, say hello to us. We might be on the air, so we might
order
have to wave.
Some food. I mean,
order
that's
some
what you
food.
Need to do.
The food
that's,
is awesome.
It's great.
Willie will tell you the beef on Weck is the best.
That's all he
we
orders.
Can give you some other options because it's all good, but. Yeah, come by and see us and register to win a pair of tickets for tonight's game.
I know that'll shock a lot of people out there, but Willie doesn't change his order. He sticks with the same thing.
Creature of habit.
Over and over and
I'm like that some places, but then there are other places where I have a lot of things that I like, and so I just kind of change it up. But, yeah, so come out and see us. It'll be cool, and we look forward to it.
I was actually watching a little bit of Ottawa and Columbus last night. Why? I don't know. Really don't know. But, yeah, the Senators. I mean, they've got Brady Tkachuk. I mean, they have
good.
I mean, I'm just, you know, but they – and Anthony Duclair. But, yeah, this is – Anisimov plays for Ottawa. Shabbat plays for Ottawa. You know what?
That sounds like a –
The bottom line is, I know it's the NHL and they get paid too. This has got to be 2 points.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Everything we've talked about, game 62, it's got to be 2 points tonight.
No, I agree.
You're
you have
home,
to get it.
You're playing this is like the movie The Major League. Like, who are these guys? Well, you got to go out and beat who are these guys.
Mm-hmm. But this is what concerns me sometimes about not this team, but we've seen it over the years with this group of they play a team that you know they probably should take care of, and it's like Columbus the other night. It's closer than it should. It goes to a shootout. They end up getting the 2 points, but you just need to take care of business and regulation. Get those two and keep padding your points and moving up in the standings and get ready for a huge, 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 huge Calgary game on Thursday. But don't worry about that until after this one is over. I don't want them to look too far
ahead.
Don't
worry about Thursday.
We can do that.
We can do that.
We can talk about that, but because we know how big Thursday is going to be. But got to take care of business tonight against Ottawa. And if they can do that, then I haven't done all the math today. I was talking to Terry Crisp before the show. We were trying to figure out, you know, Crispy has all the answers. At least I think he does. So we were trying to figure all that out. But, look, they'd be in a very good spot. Put them at 70 points. Calgary and Arizona have the two wild card spots. They sit at 70. Looking at the schedule around the league tonight, Calgary is in action at Boston.
By the way, so, that was the only game last night, Ottawa and Columbus.
It?
That was it. The only game on the schedule in the NHL.
So Calgary is at Boston tonight, so a tough game for them. And then Winnipeg at Washington, so not an easy one for them. And then you have Arizona hosting Florida. So, look, the Predators need a win tonight to stay on pace. They could get some help. If they take care of their own business, they could get some help because, as I mentioned, not easy for teams that are ahead of them, Winnipeg and, of course, Calgary. So, in Arizona playing Florida at home. So, just got to take care of your own business and could be in a playoff spot tonight.
So there was a move late, very, very late.
Yep.
After we were off the air. Matt Irwin was and a sixth-round pick in the 2022 NHL draft was sent to Anaheim in exchange for Holzer.
Yes.
Who's another defenseman. And so that was really it. I really enjoyed covering Matt Irwin his time here. I mean, he's a really good dude. And so, I mean, and by the way, he logged a lot of time with this team.
Four years.
He's been through a lot with this team. And Matt Irwin, we wish him nothing but the best. But he is off to a bad, bad Anaheim team, and I feel bad for him on that realm. But really good guy, and I enjoy being around him when he's here. And but that was really it. I mean, we know that Ben Harper was acquired from the Toronto Marlies on Saturday by David Boyle, another defenseman, a 6'6" defenseman, Mika Salamaki, sent to the Maple Leafs. That's really it. And I said all along, stand pat. That's what I've been saying for 2 weeks.
You've been consistent.
That's pretty much what David Boyle did, right, if
we're
being totally honest. He basically, this was a stand pat trade deadline, which was, by the way, extremely active. Very active, more active than last year around the league.
Which surprised me a little bit.
Well, I think it just goes back to what we've been talking about is just how many teams were still in.
Yeah.
Which created less sellers, but there were so many teams that believed they're right there. I mean, by the way, if you would have told me going into the, you know, trading deadline, let's say 48-hour window, that the Carolina Hurricanes would be the most active team or the one that we would go, wow, I would not have believed that whatsoever. Carolina was very aggressive yesterday.
Yeah.
Very aggressive. I actually like the fact that most of the aggressive teams were in the East, which is good.
So do I. But they were. They are trying to put themselves in a position to go for it again. And they have a talented club. But they just made it better. Let's see if it works. You know, how many times have we seen, I mean, the Predators are a prime example of, you make all these moves at the deadline and it just, you don't have enough time for it to gel. And so it doesn't all come together. But we will definitely see what happens with them. But I like standing pat. We'll ask David Poyle how close he was. I know he said in his media availability yesterday that he talked to every team multiple times about different things, but ultimately felt like, you know, basically keeping his group together. Holzer, you know, adds a little more size to the defense core, to that third pair. He's someone that, you know, you could see in there alongside, you know, whoever on that third pair. But I think that's fine, but not making wholesale changes, that was the right move in my mind. I mean, I know you probably could have gotten something for Craig Smith or Mikhail Granlund, but you're so close right now. I think it was smart not to sell, and then you cross that bridge when you get to it this summer.
Big Joe, Jumbo Joe, did not go anywhere.
You called that one. I thought you were going to be wrong because it was close, but you called that one. So I kudos to you for sticking to your guns on that. Jumbo Joe stays in San Jose. It looked like it for a minute. It could have been Dallas, that he could be waving his trade protection to go to Dallas, but he ultimately stays in San Jose. Zach Parise's name was out there.
Parise and Ladd, the whole Islanders and Wild deal.
Supposedly they both waived their no trade clauses to move.
What's weird is having Bill Guerin come out and be like, you know, Zach Parise is a big part of what we do. And, you know, it's like it's such a weird deal, right? You think you're breaking up, and then you realize you're not breaking up, and so then you have to – like smooth everything over. You have to put icing on the cake, and it's like, Parise, we love Zach Parise, big part of what we do and fabric of the Minnesota Wild. Yeah, but
y'all were gonna break up.
Doorstep of trading him.
Yeah.
So now you have to.
That's awkward.
Welcome him back with open arms and give him a big hug.
Right.
So that's always weird. But the trade didn't happen.
No.
I don't know why. It seemed like it was going to happen, like you said, all the proper things that you needed to have happen behind the scenes, and yet it didn't happen. I'll be interested to hear our conversation with Elliot Freeman on Thursday.
Yeah, to just see how close some things were.
Yeah, to find out what he was told of, you know, maybe moves that didn't happen or how close things were, blah, blah, blah. But we'll do that Thursday at 1 o'clock with Elliot Freeman. Don't forget, today at 11:15, David Poyle will sit down at the table with us here at Pete and Terry's Tavern, and we'll find out from him.
Yeah.
Was there anything close? We'll kind of get the temperature of the general manager. That's coming up at 11:15. Now, one move that was made yesterday, another move, was by David Poile, and that was keeping Rocco Grimaldi around. He signs a two-year extension worth $4 million. Of course, he had the shootout goal in the eighth round on Saturday night to beat Columbus, and 4-3, and he was rewarded yesterday, and we had him on the show. If you missed it, it was late in the show, a really good interview with Rocco Grimaldi. That is coming up next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
ESPN The Game Nashville is kicking off the inaugural MLS season of the Nashville SC this Friday at Tin Roof on DeMumbrian. We're starting the party early, right at 10. Come and see us, and going all the way to 6. Stop by to catch our show, Darren, Donica's and Chase, as well as, if I could speak, that would be great, as well as Jared and the GM. Every hour, we'll be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match. Happy hour starts at 2 with great food and drink specials. It's our Nashville SC inaugural MLS season kickoff party this Friday at Tin Roof DeMumbrian with live shows from 10 to 6. Tickets to Saturday's game and great food and drink specials. We are in. Be in with us. What's going on, Darren, Donick, and Chase? Chase McKay back here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena as the Preds will do battle with the Ottawa Senators later on tonight. Yesterday, if you missed it, Rocco Grimaldi has signed a two-year contract extension to remain with the Predators, $4 million total, so he'll get a little bit of a bump as he will stay in gold. He joined us late in the show, and it was a fantastic interview because Rocco is always very honest. If you missed it, here is that conversation.
Rocco Grimaldi is on the line with us. Rocco, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. How does this work? Are you in the building? You hear Rocco to David's office, please. Rocco to David Poile's office. Like, how does that work? Your new deal.
Yeah. I mean, they had talks for a week or so, and then last night it got done officially just by word of mouth. And then this morning before practice, I went in. They brought me up to the office, and I signed it with them in the room.
So how cool was that? I mean, I know we've kind of experienced this journey with you, and I remember when David Poile came on this show and said, we've informed Rocco to buy a house here. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, you're getting rewarded. We've talked to you, and obviously you've backed it up with your play, but now you've kind of reached another level. What does it mean to you and your family?
It's really special for us. I mean, just the journey that I've had and the struggles that I've had to get here, the ups and the downs. I mean, just thinking about 2 years ago coming in as a guy who was going to be in Milwaukee and hope to get a call up, whether it was through injury or whatever the case. And to last year, you know, getting my first one-way, to this year getting my first contract that's more than 1 year in my career besides my entry-level deal. I think it's been 3 or 4 one-year deals in a row, so it's really special for us. It's been a long time coming. It's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of hard work, and obviously had to fight through a lot of doubt to get here too. So it's been great to have family and friends who've been behind me the whole time to push me to keep the faith and keep moving on and keep getting better. And this is really rewarding for both, you know, for me and my family and for all of us.
Crazy story as you guys were beating Columbus here in an 8-round shootout, and we'll get to your game winner. But in Toronto, Carolina gets down to their emergency backup goaltender, which is a 42-year-old Zamboni driver there in Toronto. And it was cool to see his wife expressing her feelings throughout the course of that game. It was just interesting, like, how into it she was. And Ayers has been all over the place, obviously, since that win. And he was just talking about how he thought his wife was going to have a heart attack when they said, no, seriously, suit up and you're playing. Abby is your wife, and she is out there on social media, and she's filming your game-winning goal in a shootout. What kind of going back to the family thing, what is it like to have the support? And your wife is very vocal on social media, and, you know, and talking about your play and everything. What's that like?
I try to tell her not to embarrass me. but she's just excited. I mean, she's been with me and on really the hardest years of my life, you know, being in the minors, hoping for a call-up, never really getting the call-up, never getting a chance. We've had the tough conversations, and I'm just being honest, but a few years ago, we had tough conversations about if I have to keep grinding it out in the minors for another couple of years, I might not want to do this anymore. I might just move on and do something else. And whether that, you know, maybe I was just being crazy at the time, but those were conversations that I was having with her, and she knew the disappointment that I was feeling and just the questions that were going through my head. And so she's had to go through a lot. She's had to live through a lot of hotels with me. We've moved probably, we've almost been married for 4 years now. We've moved probably between 12 and 14 different times, lived in 5 different states, and done a lot of hotels to one-bedroom small apartments, to moving here, to moving there, to packing our cars. And, you know, people just see the glitz and the glamour of, you know, pro athlete's life, and, you know, they think everything's is awesome, but sometimes they don't realize the struggles that you have to go through, not having a home, wondering where you're going to be, not knowing where you're going to live, just all these things. And she's had to go through a lot, put a lot of things on hold for us just because I'm not sure of where I was going to be or where we were going to live. But she's been quite the trooper, and it's just so fitting that, you know, for her being a musician, that we would end up in Nashville and, you know, things start going well for both of us right now. And it's just a blessing from God, honestly.
That's awesome. I mean, that is bringing the human element to that story. Very cool for you to put that out there for our listeners, because that is, you're right, that really puts everything in perspective. So with that being said, kind of getting back to what I initially asked, I mean, like, now to have this happen today because of that journey that you just chronicled to us, it just must make it feel even like a bigger deal than it already is, right? I mean, it's so much sweeter knowing what you just laid out, and now, you know, you get rewarded yet again.
Yeah, I was asked earlier today if it meant more going through all the struggles that I've gone through, if this meant more now because of those things, and I'd have to say 100% yes, because of course, if I was, you know, had to redo my life, you know, if I was 20 years old, I would want to say, heck no, I want to be in the NHL at 20 years old and, you know, not have to worry about the minors or any of that stuff. But now, 27, looking back at everything I've gone through, I would not trade my 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, in the minors for anything. I wouldn't trade the hard times. I wouldn't trade the hotels, because it's grown me as a person. And, yeah, I've grown as a player too, but at the end of the day, what's more important, growing as a man or growing as a hockey player? We're not going to play this game forever. So I've grown stronger as a husband and as a son and as a friend, and I'm just grateful for all the struggles that I've gone through, because those are the things that build our character. And we've gone through a lot, and I just feel like it's made our marriage stronger, and it's made me a stronger person. And, you know, the way I look at difficulties now, I just remember all the times in the past and all the ways God has opened doors and shut different ones and really placed us where he wants us to be. And, you know, I'm grateful for the struggles, because I can relate to more people, because most people's lives aren't, you know, all easy and everything comes, you know, with no trouble to them. Most people have a hard life, and they're battling and grinding, fighting for their dreams. And just because I've been able to do that too, I can relate to more people and share my story that way.
Rocco, by the way, we're talking to Rocco Grimaldi. Nashville Predators signs a 2-year contract earlier today. Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Ottawa Senators. So, Rocco, let's go back to Saturday night. You get the call. In the shootout, you know, if you score, you win. The place is going crazy. It was one of the more intense shootouts that I've seen when you go back and forth. It wasn't like the goalies were stopping everything. Each team scored a couple. There was another time where Ryan Ellis had to score. It was very dramatic. So what goes through your mind when you step out there? Are you thinking about the scouting report of the goalie? Are you thinking, I'm just going to go with my best move? How do you arrive at the decision you make?
To be honest, you know, I didn't know if I was going to get a chance or not. There's always a possibility, so I'm always trying to stay ready. I didn't really scout the goalie. I don't really like scouting the goalies, mostly because I feel like that will change something that you might be good at, just because you're trying to do something that they might not be the best at. I like sticking with what I'm good at and my strengths. So when I'm watching, I try to watch what our guys do. I try to just see, you know, how he moves and what I might do that I'm good at that might work. So It's funny because I've most of the breakaways I've been on the last few years, I always have seemed to go forehand, and that's the first time I've gone backhand. But when I was watching them, I watched Joey and Turi and a couple guys who went up the left side, and they did the quick backhand forehand move. It looked like he pushed really hard, so I thought maybe if I could get him to push and then bring it back to my backhand, I was hoping to have, you know, hopefully an open net, but if not, at least have a little bit of space because I know how good he is. I know how, you know, agile and flexible he was. So it was good that I was watching and paying attention, and it worked out, you know, just like I was hoping it did.
Rocco, you've been very honest when you've been in interview situations about the ups and downs of the team, and you've still got a great opportunity here. You got the big win on Saturday. You've got this four-game homestand. Some things fell your way over the weekend here. Is there a sense, I know you guys have been searching for a long time to really get into that groove, but is there a belief in that room going forward here that the best is still yet to come? You know the potential is there.
I don't think we've had any other mindset, honestly. We've always believed that the group that we have is good enough to get it done. You know, we have a lot of good players, we just haven't been a good team for parts of the season. Sometimes things go great from October all the way through, and sometimes you got to wait till mid-January, and sometimes you got to wait till the end of the year. Sometimes you just don't gel, and we've had a lot of downs, it seems, this year. We've had ups and downs, but if you look at the playoff picture, we're 2 points out, and we got 2, 3, and 4 games on hand on the teams that we're chasing. So we're not in a bad spot. Honestly, I've said this before, but who cares if you're not in the playoff spot from games 1 to 81? Of course, we would love to be from game 1 all the way to game 82 in a playoff spot. It would obviously make our job easier and our hearts not be pounding as much. But at the end of the day, it only matters who's in the playoff spot after game 82. So we're going to do whatever we can to fight to make a playoff spot. You know, whether you're first place or you're just the last team to squeak in, it really doesn't matter, because once the playoffs start, everyone's at zero. Everyone's 0-0. Everyone starts fresh. It's a totally new season. It's a whole other ball game. We saw it last year. We won our division. Dallas came in, and they whooped us pretty good. Like, it doesn't really matter what place you're in. So we have a great group of guys. We have guys who have won cups. We have guys who have gone to cup finals. We have guys with experience. And there's 20 games left for us to band together and try to make something really, really special out of this season.
Talking to Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators, and, you know, Rocco, so much gets made this time of year with trades and, you know, guys that can be moved around to make teams better. But you guys got one back internally in Ryan Ellis the last couple games, and he's already made an impact. I know he's been around through the coaching change, but now having him back on the ice, how big has that been for you guys?
Well, it's huge for us. I mean, he's one of our best players, and he's good offensively, but he's obviously great defensively too. He's a leader in our locker room. He's a great player. You know, I'm sure it's not easy coming back from a concussion. It's not easy coming back after almost being 2 months out. And a lot of people forget and don't realize, but this was his first game under the new coach. And, I mean, that's new systems. That's a lot of different things going on in your mind. You're trying to think about systems. You're trying to think about your health. Like, there's a lot of things that was probably going through his mind. So for him to step in and play 2 great games is awesome for us. And I'm sure the more games he plays, the more comfortable he's going to get, the better he's going to feel physically and mentally. Yeah, he's going to have an even better touch and an awareness, because, you know, we've all had injuries, and we know sometimes coming back it's not the easiest at first. So he's a big addition to our lineup. And, you know, hopefully going forward we can continue to, like I said, band together as a group and do something special.
Now, we had Craig Smith on last week and asked him this question, but, you know, your line with Craig and Nick Bonino, coming up with a name, have you thought about that at all? Our listeners have given us some suggestions of naming your line, but you guys have had so much success, we kind of think it needs a name.
No, that's honestly not something that really goes through my mind very often.
We had a vote for Goodfellas, the movie, and Craig and others have said you're definitely Joe Pesci. So I don't know if you've seen Goodfellas. I don't know how you feel about that, but they have made you Joe Pesci as a part of that line.
I have seen Goodfellas. I'm obviously a good Italian boy, so I don't know if that's because of his size or because of his craziness, but I guess I'll take it.
We also
lay off Spider.
Yeah, layoff spider. But what is it, Rocco, that has worked for you guys? And I've asked all three of you this question before, but it's been consistent all year. It hasn't been just in the last month or so. It's been a consistent thing throughout the season.
I think for a line to be consistent, you need three individuals to be consistent in their own game, not changing the type of game that they have or the type of role that they're supposed to play. And I think me and Smitty are decently similar with the way that we play, with our work ethic, the way we hunt pucks, the way we can skate, we use our speed, getting to the net, all that stuff. And then Bones is just so smart. He's so good defensively. Gives me and Smitty the time and space to get out of the zone to I don't want to say cheat the offense, but sometimes to get out of the zone early because we know Bones is there to back it up if something goes wrong. He's just so reliable, and he's obviously really good offensively too. I mean, I think both of them are tied for second in our team in goals, so it's been a lot of fun playing with those guys. We always have good conversations on the bench. We're talking about how we can get better, and you know, we know if there's a game where we're not playing so hot, we kind of talk about things and try to change what's going on, and it seems like we always kind of figure it out. I think there's only been like one game that I can think of that I'm not really extremely happy with how we play. Other than that, I think we've done a great job just about every game. I said it a lot, but I know what I'm getting out of those two guys. I know they're going to show up to compete. I know they're going to work. I know they're going to give their all. I don't have to question if, oh, is Bones or Smitty going to show up to play tonight? Like, I just know. And I think that they know the same about me in games, and it starts in practice too. I know that they're going to show up, and they know that I'm going to show up. When you have three guys that are on the same page like that and three guys that show up to work every single day, that can make for an extremely dangerous line.
Rocco, thanks for being a good fellow and joining us. Congratulations on your new deal, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the arena.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
There you go, Rocco Grimaldi joining us yesterday on the show. Really, really cool story for him to get the new contract, and he's going to be around, doesn't have to do the arbitration thing anymore, and he is going to be here for the next couple years for the Nashville Predators. So that was the big move that the Preds made yesterday. A couple of notes. Mikhail Granlund, who missed yesterday's practice with a maintenance day, is on the ice this morning for the Nashville Predators, so that is good news. Pecorine also missed yesterday. It's an optional skate today. They're having some team meetings, so not really a skate at all. So we will keep you updated on that. Also, the NFL Combine is underway in Indianapolis. John Robinson spoke today. You'll hear from him a little later on in the show. David Poyle coming up at 11:15. We'll have more coming on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, alongside at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Ottawa Senators will meet tonight. A valuable 2 points on the line as the Predators not skating today, having team meetings. As they get ready for that game tonight. Good stuff from Rocco Grimaldi. Again, just a tremendous story of everything that he's gone through in his career now to make it to the big time and get a contract extension, Darren. And he's going to be with the Predators another couple of years, and we always enjoy our conversations with him.
Good story, right?
Yeah.
That's what's cool. And to hear him talk about how close he was. And, look, I'm sure everybody who wasn't, you know, one of the a draft baby, you know, yeah, where you know you're going to get a long leash if you're a first-round pick, or at least a longer leash than other guys, that when you have that uphill climb that they've all had to go through the journey of, you know, how long am I going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
And that's, look, that's in all sports. It's just cool to hear his story of him, you know, telling his now wife, like, I you know, I don't know how long I'm going to keep doing, but for him to stay with it,
sure,
and to get where he is today and then be rewarded with 2 more years at $4 million. Good for him. Now,
yeah,
now we're going to see as this team's got a critical week to close out the month of February, and then they're going to go into their most active month and their final month of the regular season, where they're going to play more games than they have in any other month this entire regular season. They get to do it here at home, and they've got an opportunity to make some real ground, and, oh, by the way, kick off the month of March,
yeah,
at home as well. But this is a really, really important week. Look, you know, when you get Chase into the 60s, when it comes to the games, it's serious time, and they're in,
yeah,
the 60s. And so, you know, now we're going to find out how this is going to work. I spoke with Jared Tenorti this morning. You will hear that conversation in pregame tonight, just what it's like in the room and what it's like as a player to go through a day like yesterday.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a fringe guy or a guy that's being rumored. And then now what's that like? We'll find out, is this team relieved? You know, what's their mindset tonight now that the smoke is cleared and it's the same room? You know, minus obviously Matt Irwin, who we talked about earlier, but it's the same room. They're going to trot out the same guys tonight. And so does that have an effect on this team where they're relieved and now they're going to go out and prove that this was the right move? And so we'll find that out tonight.
I think there is going to be a sense of relief with some guys that – and look, the guys that were mentioned, you could tell it didn't really affect them necessarily. They were playing well. Mikhail Granlund has been very consistent for this team as of late. Craig Smith has as well. But I just think overall in the room, there is now this is our group. This is who we're going to war with. You know, the guy next to me is going to be the guy next to me. So it's not going to change. You don't have to worry about waivers and trades and things like that. Now it's just this is the team. So I think that changes things. Now you can just focus on the last 20 games or so and go get after it. So I think that's going to be good for this team. As you watch the standings and you look at the games in hand, I was asked point blank, do I think the Predators are going to make the playoffs? Yes, I do. I think they're going to find a way to get in. They're right there, and they have been right there for the last several weeks. And, you know, we've had that conversation of all the teams that...
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because there was not a point when you were saying that.
No, there wasn't.
You were saying were out. They're not going to make the playoffs. And literally nothing has changed in the standings. So why have you changed your mind? Because it's not like this team has surged ahead into the playoff picture. They're exactly where they were when you said they're not going to make the playoffs.
No, I think she
just turned us off.
I think they're playing better.
She just turned us
off. We're still on. It's just the headphone in.
Okay. Sorry about that.
They're playing
better. Usually when things go quiet,
you get nervous.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Over the years, we've learned when things go quiet in the headset, that's bad.
Not good.
Can't hear yourself, can't hear you. That's bad.
What were we talking about?
No, I freaked everybody out in Pete and Terry. Sorry.
My gosh. My exact words were they weren't a playoff team. Okay? So, I believed at the time that they weren't. I do think this team's playing better. I think they have fixed some things on defense. I think there is a true buy-in in that locker room to what John Hines is selling. You can tell there's a different feeling. Even after a loss, you can feel something different. Like I walked in after a couple of losses here recently, and it's like they're mad. There is a pissed off feeling, which they needed to have because they knew that they didn't play well. And I actually talked to Ryan Johansson two straight games, a loss and then a win. And he kind of had the same mindset with both of, okay, you know, it's another game. We just got to keep playing this way and keep taking care of business. So I do feel like their mindset is different. Standings-wise, you're right. Yeah, they haven't changed. Nothing's changed there. But you have to look at more than just the points. You have to look at more than just the numbers. You have to look at how the team has played as a whole. And I truly believe that they are playing better. And if they can get the guys – like Ryan Johansson continue, you know, he scored a couple goals as of late. Keep that going. Philip Forsberg has to get going. Duchesne has to get going. Arvidsson as well. Once that happens, and I believe that they have that in their makeup for it to happen, then you feel even better about this team. But I say that because I think that they are playing better. That's why I've changed my mind.
Better as in they just look better?
They look better. Their body language on the ice looks better. I mean, they're not scoring a ton of goals, but defensively they're better. Their goaltending is better. Pecorine has had some gems the last couple of games that he's played. Saros, I think there could be another level, but he's still played well. He's played solid. I mean, I guess you can call him 1A right now for this team. But there is some of the big problems. Now, they got to get better on the power play. They definitely have to do that. They still have to work on the power play.
Well, the penalty kill and power play.
Yeah,
the
special teams. Special teams in general have to get better. So,
look, I'm not saying I disagree with you.
They're not perfect.
I'm just curious why you've changed your mind. You were very adamant that they weren't making the playoffs, and it's a results business, and the results really haven't changed. It's exactly what we've – the 61 games have looked the same for pretty. I mean, we can lay out exactly how this season's gone along, and since you were,
they've had points
pretty
in seven
adamant,
of their last 10, though.
Yeah, and by the way, this time of
that
year
does
that's,
look different.
That's the key. Although you could certainly make the case that they gave away a point in Chicago.
They did.
It doesn't. You know how points
actually
feel different.
I won't make that case. They didn't give it away. Pecorine just earned the point.
Well, but a power play goal, they had five cracks at a power play, and yeah. A power play goal probably gives them 2 points.
Sure, and that's a problem. Look, I'm not –
Pekka is the only reason they had any chance in that game.
Yes.
Because Pekka was outstanding. I'm saying a power – they had five opportunities on a power play and came up with nothing. And one power – even just one power play goal probably nets them 2 points. And so all points are not created equal. Sometimes you feel good about a point because you know that you probably didn't deserve that point. And then there's times when you don't feel as good about a point.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't feel as good about that point. And it's a Chicago team that's not very good.
Right. Look, and that's another thing that does concern me when they play these teams that aren't very good. Are they playing down to their competition a little bit? That's always been something that's concerned me with them. So they have to work on that. I'm not saying they're perfect. I just feel like that they are a team that's playing better. The coaching change, they have bought into that. You're starting to see it all come together. If they can just tweak a couple things and get those four guys that we keep bringing up every day to start playing their game, their true game, plus the guys that have been stepping up, like a Kyle Turris or Craig Smith or Mikhail Granlund or Rocco Grimaldi or Nick Bonino, everybody joined together, then I think they get in. They look different.
David Poile will sit down with us at 11:15. We're looking forward to that conversation in about 30 minutes. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. And Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad brought this up to me on my regular Monday hit on Morning Drive at 9 o'clock. And we got into a pretty spirited debate about Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill. By the way, when I was downstairs, we've got the televisions on here at Pete and Terry's. Couple of the shows this morning, what are they talking about? Where's the right fit for Tom Brady? And they've got the Titans up there. So we're going to get into that on the other side and talk it out loud. And we'll get your feedback as well to wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. He's under contract here for the next few weeks, and he did a great job for us. And we'll start those talks and see kind of where those go. And just like all the other players.
John Robinson in Indianapolis at the Combine. The Combine is underway, so you can tell Willie when he gets here that the Combine is now officially underway.
Oh, we can put that on Pick 6? We can do that?
Since it's underway. I don't know what'll make Pick 6 by Friday.
Yeah. Could be the Masters. Could be the draft.
The only thing that's come out of there so far is Joe Burrow's hand size, which is not exactly meat hooks. Far from it.
I like him.
Pretty small hands.
I like how he handles things.
Isn't it amazing? But look, I've talked about this for years. If you can get to a 10, like it ups your likability, your draft stock. It sounds crazy, but if you're a quarterback receiver stuff, if you have big giant hands, it changes things. And I know a lot of people out there going, that is the silliest thing ever. I get it. I used to think that, but it's a big deal, at least in that world. And right now, Joe Burrow, which I don't think it's going to change anything. It's not like the Bengals are going to be like, oh, my goodness. His hand size is a 9. That's like the smallest hand size for a quarterback in the NFL in the last like 10, 15 years. We're going to punt. We're not picking him. I mean, they're still going to take him. But you do wonder how much will that factor into anything.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's
like, what if he starts fumbling a lot? And people are like, see his hand size. You know that'll happen, by the way.
Sure. I mean, you're the number one overall pick. You are going to be scrutinized like no other. You sneeze wrong.
Yep.
And they'll say, oh, he doesn't know how to sneeze properly. Like he didn't cover his mouth or whatever. I mean, they will find everything to nitpick at. Speaking of quarterbacks, before we get into to Tannehill and Brady. You will appreciate this. So Tua also talked today and said that he's been training in the offseason with Trent Dilfer and the Wizenator, Ken Wizenhunt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would advise Tua to stay far, far away from the Wizenator.
Yeah. If you're a specific type quarterback, you're good. Like Phillip Rivers, it worked for a while. Marcus Mariota, who he's also very close with, might tell him otherwise.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think – even the Wizenator can't affect Tua, which, if you remember, my strongly worded this is what I know shortly after his injury when everybody was like, oh, my gosh, he's going to fall out of the first round. Oh, my gosh, where is this going to put Tua now in the draft? And I told you that, and everybody out there listening, that he is going to be a top 10 pick. I don't care what the medicals say. I'm telling you, he's going to go top 10, and now today that seems laughable because he is without a doubt going top 10.
He might
be going, I said that months ago.
There's some mocks that have him top 3.
Right. But when I said that, there were mocks out there that had him out of the first round.
Yeah. No, I know.
And I was like, this is what I know. He's going top 10. Without a doubt, he's going top 10. And now, I don't know, is Detroit 3?
Yeah.
I don't believe they're going to really take him 3, I don't think.
I'm looking at one right now that came out 2 hours ago from CBS that, and this is the most consistent pick with him.
Like Miami would be foolish.
Is Miami at 5?
5. They'd be foolish if they don't take him.
Like the most consistent top 5, Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Derek Brown, Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State with the Giants, and then Miami taking
Tua. The Chargers trade up to get him, because they're probably going to get hosed.
Yeah,
the Chargers, the Raiders. I mean, all the teams below the Dolphins.
This has Herbert ninth overall.
They would all take probably Tua.
Yeah.
So the Dolphins better take him, or they better hope somebody doesn't trade up in front of them, because he's not getting past 5.
They have the Tennessee Titans taking Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU.
So who was John Robinson? I didn't catch who he was talking about. Was he talking about
Tannehill?
Tannehill.
So
I didn't know if it was Henry or Tannehill.
Well, he was asked about both, and like in typical GM fashion, gave the answer non-answer.
Yeah.
Just got up there and talked. That's one thing that the first couple of times that I went to the combine and saw him speak, I would stand there with Floyd, and Floyd would laugh and say, he's got this down, because you're going to be asked a ton of questions and you're not going to answer anything, because he can't. He doesn't really have an answer right now. He wants, he said, he did a good job for us last year. We'll see what happens. That's the answer. He's not committing to anything. He's not saying, oh, yeah, we want to re-sign him right away. He's not saying, oh, he avoided all the Brady questions, like you'd expect, but it's still our job. You have to ask. So, that's what you expect. But that was his answer on Tannehill. He had a little more to say on Henry, but not as much.
Ohio State is set to reward Ryan Day for a successful first year with a 3-year contract extension. I don't know why schools do this. It drives me crazy why they sign these guys up after 1 year for long-term deals. It's just silly. Like, you get yourself in such a jam. Anthony Costanzo will be back in 2020, working on a new deal to return to the Colts. A lot of people were wondering how that was going to play
out.
So he's coming back. Okay, so I'll ask you what I asked Robbie and Joe. I flipped the script and asked them questions. So in this particular case, in this conversation, Tom Brady is absolutely in play. Like,
yep.
We all believe it is going to be Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, right? True?
Yep.
Like, that is truly going to be one of the quarterbacks. That is going to be their quarterback going into next season. And so, for the sake of this conversation, Tom Brady is absolutely a yes, okay? You can have him. He is an option. He is an option. If you pull the trigger, it's going to happen. So I ask you, if it was Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, and you're in a room with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you would stand up when they say, Chase, tell us which one you would pick. Your answer would be whom?
Ryan Tannehill.
Why. And why?
I stay with Ryan Tannehill. I know he didn't play 16 games, so yes, that is a concern. But we know why he didn't play 16 games. I think he fit this offense. There was definitely a mesh with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. If you bring in Brady, again, I know he's Tom Brady. I know he's the GOAT. You still have to go through that process all over again for a second-year play caller. And so you are now avoiding that honeymoon period where you're getting to know each other and try and figure out the offense again. You don't have to necessarily change the offense that much if you have the same signal caller. There were things that opened up in the playbook later on in the season that Ryan Tannehill's versatility allowed them to do. I mean, I know he didn't catch a pass, but he could line up at wide receiver because he played the position, and so it catches defenses off guard. I like that. I like how he commanded the room. The locker room has rallied behind him. A lot of the players that have talked about this have said, you know, Tannehill's our guy, and you can make the argument, what else are they going to say? But I think they truly believe that. I know it would be very hard to turn down Tom Brady because he's Tom Brady. But if you can get 3 years or a little bit more out of Tannehill and know that that's going to be your guy, whether you draft somebody this year, next year, or what have you, then I think you stick with that and you stick with what you know.
Repeat after me. I, Chase McCabe. Am choosing.
Ryan Tannehill.
Over Tom Brady. How do you feel when you say that out loud and for everybody to hear? How do you feel?
It's weird, but I stick with it.
You don't feel really, really weird saying that out loud?
I do, but you're asking him to do something he hasn't done his entire career, not play for Bill Belichick. And I think so many times everybody wants to crown him and say it's all him, and he's a big part of it, but it's not all him. Belichick is a huge part of this, and you're taking him away. And I know, like,
I thought Belichick was the defensive-minded guy.
He is, but he's the head coach. That's his show.
Okay,
that's the Belichick show in New England. Don't let anyone fool you. That is the Bill Belichick show. And I think that their relationship, or lack of, or however you want to put it, I think drives both of them. So, you know, he wants to come in here and play for his buddy in Vrabel. Can Vrabel get the same things out of Tom Brady that Belichick has gotten over the years? I don't know. I don't have the answer. Maybe he does. I could be completely wrong. But I know that Ryan Tannehill worked.
So you don't feel gross saying that you would literally choose Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady?
No.
And a year ago, this time a year ago, do you know how ridiculously absurd it would have been for anybody to say that out loud?
It would be, of course.
Like, you would have been laughed off the airwaves.
I'm sure people are laughing at me right now, and that's fine.
Oh, there's a lot of people that are right there with you.
But yeah, exactly. There are people that agree with me. That's what's so crazy about this conversation, is because of what you just said a year ago, to be like, Ryan Tannehill over Brady, what are you smoking? But now it is an actual conversation. It is an actual debate, because you could have a wrong answer in it, but you could also have two right answers.
I'm going to tell you why it's an actual conversation by just literally what John Robinson just said in Indianapolis. We'll do that to kick off the second hour. I want you to hear what he says about Derrick Henry, and I want you to hear what he says about Ryan Tannehill. And if you are thinking anything like I am, we'll do that to kick off the next hour, next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.